It's that time, the Betting Predators podcast, where our main objective is hunting down the best bets for you. I'm your host, Sleepy J. You guys can find me on Twitter at SleepyJ_pregame, joined here by the golf guru, golf expert. Got Uncle Dave in the house. You guys can find him on Twitter as well at Dave_Essler. You guys could always get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. All right, guys, here we go. Another Tuesday, another golf podcast this week. We head to Scottsdale, Arizona for the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Last year's winner of this event was Scottie Scheffler. He returns this year to repeat as champion with 14-1 odds. This year's favorite, no surprise, John Rahm right now. Pretty much around 8-1 at consensus, most of the books there. And you guys know how we do this. Uncle Dave and I will go ahead. We'll cover first round leaders, make and miss the cut, head-to-heads, top 40s through top 5s. And of course, Uncle Dave and I will go ahead and we'll give out our winners. We also might have some other wagers. I have a couple prop plays that I have. I'm not sure if Uncle Dave does. But Uncle Dave, this is kind of the golf tournament in which you and I kind of break out and we start doing our golf pods. But, you know, we kind of had the itch the last couple weeks. So we started a little bit early. I'm not sure if you'll watch this all 4 days. I know that I will. I'll be locked and loaded, you know, watching this one. It's going to be exciting. But, you know, over the last few weeks there, Uncle Dave, you've been really excited for this one more than anything.
Yeah, I've been excited for him to play all four rounds on one course. I mean, that's a little bit of a pain in the butt to handicap. And it showed last week. Last week was, 2 weeks ago, we were fine with getting Max to win. But it showed last week that, not many of the guys I did bet on did well. I think I won my head-to-head, but I think that the biggest takeaway, and I almost tweeted it, but I thought maybe the value was in Justin Rose to miss the cut at plus 275, but I did say that maybe you guys ought to take him, if that's the bet, to win, and sure enough, he won. So, hopefully my backhanded stab there, somebody was on Justin Rose, but I certainly can't take credit for much from last week, Sleepy.
Well, you got to take credit for having us up on the year there, Uncle Dave, because, if we take, what we got from Max Homa and all the winners you gave out 2 weeks ago, nothing to be ashamed of. So, anyway, with that out of the way, we're ready to rock and roll here for the Phoenix Open. As I mentioned, this is usually when Uncle Dave and I go ahead and kick off our podcast. But so we'll go ahead, we'll get into this one. Uncle Dave, we got first round leaders. Like you said, it's so much easier when you got guys that aren't playing on three different courses and the books don't post them and you got tee times all screwed up. So it's more of a pain in the ass than anything. But this is one of the reasons why we started this week. One, this is one of the more exciting tournaments, but it gets a little bit easier on our end to go ahead and do the handicapping. I have two here. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play JJ Spahn at 80-1. Good finishes here. T4, T50, and a T47. Now, he hasn't been here since 2020, but his first round average is kind of what I want to attack. He's currently third right now in the PGA in first round scoring average. He did have a 64 round here with one of his visits. So mentally, I would imagine he probably thinks he could probably go low here. Prior to the Farmers, JJ Spahn was top 15 in five straight events. So I feel like his game is in a good place. So I'll use him here, and I'm going to use him a little bit further on down the road when we get to our top 40s through top 5s. And let me go ahead and give you another one here. I'm going to go ahead and play Alex Noren, first-round leader, at 75-1. Another guy with great first-round scoring averages. He's top 25 in that, and he's been here more than a few times. He finished here T6 last year, and he has some low rounds here under his belt as well at the Phoenix Open. What I like most here is that he finished in the top 5 in the last three events that he's golfed. And he'll also have some rest, being that he hasn't fired a round since January the 22nd, and that was in Abu Dhabi. So I feel like he's going to make a strong start here. I believe he'll finish pretty strong on the first day. So 75-1, Alex Noren, first round leader. So that's what I got there, Uncle Dave. JJ Spahn, Alex Noren for my first round leaders. What do you got?
Yeah, I got a few flyers I'm going to take here, actually, Sleepy. JT Poston, 110-1. I mean, the guy has the talent. He was bad to me last week, but if I look closer at last week, he actually played the last 27 holes really well. But he opened, I think, on the front nine with a plus 7. It just kind of took all his momentum, and that was the toughest of the three courses. I probably should take a flyer on him to win at 90-1, but I'm not off his train yet. Garrick Higo, also 110-1. This guy's the epitome of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Played well here last year. I think he's either going low or missing the cut. His trajectory is up. I'm going to take this flyer Actually, he also has an early tee time. Cam Young, 40-1. It opened last week with a 3-under, which wasn't far. The leader was only minus 6. And he ended last Sunday with a 4-under, which was one of the better rounds that day. So he obviously knows he can go low in this course. I'm going to take him as a first-round leader. And another guy that should never be 100-1 is Adam Hadwin. Last year, he was 5-under on Thursday, and I think he had the second lowest opening round. And actually, I think he had the 54-hole lead, and he shot 3-over on Sunday and basically gave the tournament away. So he knows what he can do here. So I think 100-1 is too much money. So I went with the long shot, Sleepy.
All right. Well, look, if we hit one of those, Uncle Dave will be able to pound our chests, and there's no way we're losing any money because we do have some bombers there. Let's jump into some make and miss the cuts there. I have one here, Uncle Dave. I'm going to go ahead and play Tom Hoagie to go ahead and miss the cut at plus 190. Now, Hoagie, he's been going strong, you know, kind of for a while now, but I think he's kind of tailing off. I wonder if fatigue is kind of setting in here now with him. You know, his name's been surfacing on the odd screen. It seems like, I don't want to say every week, but like, you know, every other week, let's just say, to go ahead and take down some tournaments or have some really good finishes. But, you know, it's been three straight 30 or worse performances. Now, he did squeeze a T3 in. That was a couple tournaments back, like four tournaments back at the Century. But even prior to that, you know, it was two straight cuts. So he hasn't been exactly great. Hoagie's been cut here twice, you know, in five trips. He has zero top tens here. And I think his putting is going to have to carry him here. And if his putting even lets him down, and it's been sliding, you know, a little bit over the last couple tournaments, that's going to probably leave him in trouble. So I think he's going to need to be lights out here. I just don't see it. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play Tom Hoagie to go ahead and miss the cut at plus 190. You got any make and miss the cuts this week there, Uncle Dave?
You know, I probably shouldn't even be bothered after I gave the guy out last week that ended up winning the tournament.
Right.
So I guess, you know, Jason Day at plus 250 to miss the cut. You know, he's been playing over his head lately the last couple of weeks. So there's another guy like Justin Rose. He can win, but I think 3 weeks in a row playing with a guy that has a bad back, I think he's like a Rose. He's going to miss the cut or he's going to win. So that's my best miss the cut value.
All right, good stuff there from Uncle Dave. Let's go ahead and let's jump into our head-to-heads here. Uncle Dave, you just mentioned Adam Hadwin. And with my first head-to-head, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play him over Tommy Fleetwood at minus 120. Fleetwood has spent most of his time kind of on a European tour, and the main reason for the fade here is the experience between these two. Fleetwood's never been here before at this event, which is kind of surprising. And Hadwin, he's been here the last 8 years in a row. Hadwin doesn't have, you know, any real stellar performances here, but he's made the cut here seven straight times. Hadwin will have a week's rest, and he hasn't really been all that bad in his last three events, T7, T18, T44. I kind of just like the disparity here, Uncle Dave, in experience. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play Adam Hadwin minus 120 over Tommy Fleetwood in a head-to-head. And my final one here, I actually think you'll like this one. Ricky Fowler minus 120 over Russell Henley. So Uncle Dave, we talked a couple podcasts ago when I said, you know, I really think Ricky's kind of going to turn the page. You know, he got married and had a kid and all the things like that. So I'll test that theory here. I think this is going to be Ricky Fowler's comeback season. And he's made the cut now in four straight events. And his stats, if you actually look at them, have kind of turned the page in many areas. His strokes gained his way up. And Fowler at this event, he's had some great finishes. Two top two finishes and a win here to go along with a bunch of top 15s and a fourth place finish as well. Now, Ricky's been cut here the last two times, and that tells me that he kind of wasn't in a great place, as I just talked about. I really think his game was just, it was really just all over the place. But now, I think with the field thinning out with the LIV tour, and I think Ricky can kind of make his case that, you know, that he belongs on the TV set now, at least for the next couple years. As far as Henley goes, nothing special over the last three events for him. He was cut, and then he had two T30 finishes. Here at Phoenix, not good at all. Cut four times and has four finishes, top 30 or worse. Henley has two decent finishes here with a T15, T16. So it's kind of like a 10-year sample here. Henley, not that good at all. So Ricky Fowler for me there, Uncle Dave, minus 120 over Russell Henley in a head-to-head. So those are my head-to-heads there, Uncle Dave. What do you got?
Well, I have two, but one of them was Ricky Fowler over Russell Henley.
All right.
So you just gave out all the reasons why that is a winner. Andrew Putnam, even money over Lucas Herbert. And Putnam's just in good form. He played well last week and actually was one of the guys that was on my list of people to take, and I didn't. And he missed the cut, so it's probably just as well. But he made 9 straight cuts this year with 2 top fives and a couple top 20s. And, you know, Herbert hasn't played in a PGA event since October. He plays on the DP Tour, where he's ranked 6th, but consider the competition. I mean, Rory's ranked 1, but you look at the rest of the guys, and they're people you never heard of. And I think Herbert probably is a little bit better golfer, but I think that Putnam is in good form, and Herbert's showing up for his first event. I'm gonna take Putnam over Lucas Herbert.
All right, good stuff there from Uncle Dave. Let's go ahead and let's jump into our top 40s through top 5s. Now, Uncle Dave, I normally don't do this, but I have a bunch of top 20s here. So I'm going to go ahead. I'll read off the guys, and it's a quick notes here. I'm not going to dive deep into some handicaps here. So these are all going to be top 20s. This will be the next 4 guys that I give you. We're going to go ahead and play Scott Piercy at 10-1. He's been here a ton. Great finishes here as well. 4 top 10 finishes, 2 top 20 finishes. He was cut here last year, and that's kind of a rarity for him at this event. At 10-1, I figure why not. Martin Laird at +750, very similar to Piercy. A lot of experience, a lot of good finishes here. Finished T14 here last year, so at +750, why not? JT Poston, +360. He's been on a heck of a run. 3 straight T21 finishes, and just 2 weeks ago at the American Express, a T6. He's made the cut at Phoenix every time that he's been here. And I think that this might be maybe one of his best finishes here all time this upcoming week. His game's just in a great place right now. So JT Poston at +360, top 20. I like that one. And then I'll go ahead. I'll put Brendan Steele in there at +320. I felt like this one was a little bit of a reach, but you can't deny the success that he's had here in the past. He's had 7 T17 or better finishes, and he's coming off of a cut here. So I think maybe a bounce back here for Brendan Steele. So those are 4 top 20 finishes: Piercy, Laird, Poston, and Steele. I also have a top 10 here, Uncle Dave, but I'll let you go ahead and start ripping running through what you got, top 40s through top 5s.
Yeah, I mean, top 10, I took Colin Morikawa. I mean, he totally has the game for this course, and, you know, he's a favorite in a lot of people's cards, and it wouldn't surprise me if he won. He's a great long iron player, which is the right guy for this course, but his history of late game heroics for his opponents, I'll take plus money at top 10. Xander, you got to use him somewhere. Top 10, +165. You know, he loves this tournament. He's finished 10th or better here 3 of the last 4 years. And his off year, he was T16. I mean, he's going to play well. So I'm going to throw him in the top 10, top 20. Sanjay M, +110. Trajectory up. He was T18 at the Amex and a quiet 4th last week. And, you know, he is 18th on the world golf ranking, so top 20 +110 seems like a no-brainer. Top 20, Keith Mitchell +250. I was kind of pissed at myself and kind of glad he didn't win last week because he was another one of the last few I didn't have room for. He's trending up big time after he missed the cut at the Sony. He was 22nd at the Amex, 4th last week. He's great off the tee, marginal on approach shot, so I mean, that's what cost him last week, so I can only take him top 20. And then my man, Garrick Higgo, again. I remember when he crashed the PGA party a couple of years ago, and we actually had him to win his first tournament, which he did. And he had a solid 21 his first year, but then last year he only made 9 of 22 cuts. But again, to me, it's his trajectory, and right now, I mean, he's made all 3 cuts this calendar year, and there's a 20th, an 11th, and a 53rd. So, you know, just top 40 at plus money. That is also worth a bet. So I will let you throw me out your last top 10, Sleepy.
All right, so this will be my only top 10 there, Uncle Dave. J.J. Spahn, 8-1. Another guy that's kind of just been red hot. 6 of his last 8 tournaments, top 25 or better. Actually, 5 of his last 6 have been T15 or better. So this guy's been red hot. He's never been cut here. And I feel like I'm kind of riding some hot golfers right now with the list of guys that I mentioned, and a couple of them in bounce back spots. So, and the prices are nice as well. I feel like at least the pricing with a lot of the guys that I mentioned, you know, for the quality of golfer that they are, actually isn't that bad. And you know, if I could hit one of these, I won't get hurt that badly. And if I could hit 2, then we'll go ahead, we'll make some profit. So that'll wrap up the top 40s through top 5s. Before we get in our winners there, Uncle Dave, I have a prop here. Actually, I have two. So I'll go ahead. I'll give those out. Not sure if you have any other wagers outside of your winners, but I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play top Asian Hideki Matsuyama at +330. I feel like Hideki has been getting slighted a little bit recently. His win odds right now at 28-1, which I don't think that they're all that bad, but Hideki has absolutely slaughtered this course. He's had two wins here, two top fives, two top 15s, a T16 here as well. He's never missed a cut here. And the other Asians in the field clearly haven't done what Hideki has. Now, Sungjae, he's been really good here as well, but he doesn't have that type of experience here that Hideki does. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to buy the past results, and the price of +330 is pretty good to me. So I'll go ahead. I'll make a pizza bet on that one. And Uncle Dale, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to do this one. Hole in one at -165. I'm going to bet the yes. We know what this course is notorious for. It's notorious for golfers going out there and trying to make a hole in one. And I think they did it like two or three times last year, but it's been done here quite a few times over the course of this tournament. This course right now has four par threes, and most of these guys could probably reach the pin without a doubt. But I think this is more of a fun bet for us. And if there's ever actually a time to go ahead and play this, it's got to be at this course. And you know, if it happens, we're more than likely going to see it live, or we'll see it on Twitter. But you know, if you guys are watching this one, for just pure entertainment value, kind of a fun prop, hole in one, I'll go ahead and I'll do that. I don't know if you like that bet there, Uncle Dave, but you know, we're rooting for it to see it. And if we have a wager on it happens, then it just makes it even more exciting, at least on our end. So I'll go ahead, I'll do that. I'm not sure what you think with that, but I'm going to go and I'm going to play it.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I don't remember what that hole is where they basically line it with grandstands. And I think Sam Ryder got the hole in one there last year, but I think somebody else did too. You might be right. So, yeah, it's kind of cool. I actually, since we're giving out nationality props, there's one I would play. Top guy from the UK or Great Britain and Ireland, whatever you want to call it. Matthew Fitzpatrick is +450 now. Obviously, the chalk there is Rory at +110. But then you drop way down to Hatton and Shane Lowry at, +750, +800. Other guys that could play well. But, let's assume those odds are right and it was just Fitzpatrick against McIlroy. I don't think you could get +50 on Matthew, +450 on Fitzpatrick. I mean, you'd get a plus number for sure, but not that high. So I'm willing to go Matthew Fitzpatrick, top Great Britain Ireland guy at +450.
All right, good pick there, Uncle Dave. I was looking at all those nationality props today, actually. And to be honest with you, I'll probably have more wagers than what I'm giving out in this podcast. It's just, we're sitting here Tuesday night, and the tournament doesn't kick off till Wednesday or till Thursday. And I'm sure I'll find some other fun stuff to go ahead and wager on, I'm sure. So Uncle Dave, you're the only one that has a winner for us on our podcast so far this season. So you get to go second here. I'm going to go first with my winners. I'm going to go ahead and play Alex Norn 65-1. I feel at this price, you kind of got to have a piece of him. He's been flaming hot recently. T4, T2, T5 in his last three tournaments. He was T6 here last year in Phoenix. I felt like maybe like 40-45-1 seemed a little bit more sensible, but at 65-1, I have to go ahead and take a little piece of him. I'll do Cam Young at 29-1. He was well for, he did well for us last year. He's just solid. I mean, you got to go all the way back to July of 2022 to find a cut on his sheet, and he's been hot as well. Top 25 finishes in six of his last seven events. Had a T26 here last year. And we often see guys of like his caliber, guys whose games are really coming into form, make a big jump from year one to year two at this particular event. So 29-1 seems like a very good price to me. And I'll go ahead and I'll give out some chalk here, Uncle Dave. I didn't really give out any chalk. So I'll go ahead. I'm going to give out Scottie Scheffler at 13-1. Scheffler's a returning champion of this event. And I do want some exposure on the world's best guys. And since I have a little here, I'll go ahead, I'll take Scotty here. I think he's out to kind of just shut everybody up. It's been rom for, the last month and a half. But I think people are kind of forgetting, what Scheffler did to this field, not only at Phoenix last year, but the entire year. I mean, this guy is clearly one of the best golfers, and I think he's going to remind everyone of that this week. And since I don't have a whole hell of a lot of chalk, I'm going to take Scheffler here. Out of his last eight tournaments, six of those were in the top 10. So in my opinion, Scotty hasn't lost anything at all. And at 13-1, I figure, why not? I'll go out, I'll take a chalky guy there. So those are my winners there, Uncle Dave. Norin, Cam Young, Scotty Scheffler. That's what I got. What do you got?
Let's see. One of your boys here, Hideki, that you mentioned, I like him at 45-1. I mean, he's kind of owned this course over the years, really. I mean, he starts so well. He's also a great first-round leader bet at 45-1. I mean, this course just fits him. And because he's great also from 150 yards and out on his approach shots, fifth on tour last year he was on that category. If he putts well, statistically, he could lap the field. Sam Burns, 55-1. I think the price is too high. You know, for a guy that has four wins already, and he, you know, he's priced with guys that haven't won yet, and that's almost reason enough. I mean, he's been cut here two of the last 3 years, but he played solid in his last event 2 weeks ago, so he's also rested. I just think that 55-1 is just a great value bet. And like Hayden Buckley, I got to use this guy somewhere. He's 130-1. He was a runner-up at the Sony, and his tee to green game is actually one of the best on tour, and he's not a horrible putter. Can he win? I don't know. 130-1 is a little steep, but he's a guy I also would stick in at top 40 somewhere. I mean, and, you know, you got to take Max again. I mean, why not? Everyone loves Max, and on this rowdy course, I think that's only going to be ramped up a bit. So, you know, I he's one of those kind of guys that would thrive on that, so I'm gonna throw a little on Max, and I believe that's where I left off, my friend.
All right, well, there's our winners for this week. It should be fun. It should be an interesting tournament. I'm excited for this one. And if we have anything else, like one of the things that kind of screwed up Uncle Dave and I is the fact that, you know, the tournament, we ended up with the darkness deal, and we didn't end up finishing the last tournament until Monday, so a lot of things came out kind of late. Tee times, I don't even know if the tee times even came out yet there, Uncle Dave. I think they might have finally just posted them. But, I mean, the top 40s weren't out. I waited until really late last night to even get, you know, make and miss the cut stuff on our podcast sheet here. So it was tough, but we're ready to roll. And if we have anything extra, you know, we'll put that on our Twitter accounts, at SleepyG_pregame, @Dave_Essler. But that'll wrap it up, guys. Hopefully you guys do well for the Phoenix Open. You know where to find us on Twitter. SleepyG_pregame, Dave_Essler. Get us at bettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. With that said, I'd like to wish you guys all the best of luck. Enjoy the games.